over, if you will, to the Sunday evening. And this morning, I didn't expect it to happen again, but the thought just kind of kept rattling in my mind. And for some reason, you know, when I prepared this message, I'll just be honest with you, which I try to be anyways, obviously, but when I prepared this message, I thought, well, this is a shorter message than some. I don't have a whole lot of pages, but I didn't end up getting through everything and kind of walking around the auditorium this afternoon a little bit wondering, okay, Lord, you know, I could preach the message I prepared for Sunday night or I could finish this up, and just felt like I need to finish this up. It's going to be very practical, however. I'm going to pick up a little bit. I'm going to review a little bit of this morning. And, of course, the title of my message is Going Forward. And I preached about that this morning in depth, but I do want to kind of clean it up and just kind of finish the thoughts. I didn't actually get to the thoughts that I had jotted down as to why we should keep going forward. And that's my thought process here in just a moment. But take your Bibles. I'm going to just read a few verses here. I'm going to read 13 through 16. So let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Exodus chapter 14, and we'll read verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. And today's text verse has been verse number 15, and that's where we'll continue on this evening. Verse number 13, I'll read, and then you read responsively. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We do thank you for tonight, Lord. And I'm thinking of some of the folks right now that are not feeling well. I think of little Abby and little Carly, and also thinking of Sean that's not feeling well, pinched a nerve or something like that today, and different things like that, and going to a doctor, Lord, and thinking of others that just aren't feeling well. But God, I just pray you'd be close to them tonight. God, I do ask you to be with those that are traveling. Think of the Mitchells as they travel to Delaware. I pray you give them a wonderful time of refreshment. Bring them back safely to us, Lord. And just pray, God, Holy Spirit, that you'd meet with us tonight, Lord. I just pray, God, that you'd move in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to review a little bit. And I, you know, as a preacher, as I was getting ready to say a few moments ago, you fear to be repetitious. And I don't want to sound too repetitious, and I hope not. I hope I'm not too repetitious. If I feel like that the second part of this message is not going quite the way that I was hoping it would go, then I'm just going to go to my office and I'll go preach the other one. All right, and eventually we'll get it. Amen. But I hope that you follow along with me. But I'm going to just kind of review a little bit for those who are not in our morning service on the subject of going forward. I just want to say this: you know, the children of Israel, the journey of the children of Israel ought to be a lesson for us. It's amazing, you know, if we would just take the Word of God literally in our Bible reading. I mean, you know, realize, you know, and before you read the Bible, you ought to say, okay, God, do something in my heart. You know, move in my heart. Show me something in my devotional time and so forth. And I've been kind of going through the children of Israel. It's an amazing passage when you think about the journey from Egypt, which is a type of the world, to right on through to the promised land, and the murmuring and complaining and the whining. And one man, talk about Moses, who had a faith in God, led 3 million people through the wilderness and so forth. It's an amazing story. And then the journey in between the Egypt to the promised land. Boy, there's a whole lot of lessons there that we ought to learn in our journey of the Christian life, so to speak. Of course, our journey of the Christian life starts at salvation. Okay, we cannot say we're a Christian until we're saved, obviously. Okay, a lot of people out there say, well, I'm a Christian and so forth, but the truth of the matter is they've not even begun to be a Christian until they came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's where it begins, right there. If we're going to go forward with Jesus, as I mentioned this morning, man, it starts with Jesus. And it's going to, by the way, end with Jesus. Amen? And it's going to start with him. You know, we've got to understand that we're sinners, we're lost on our way to hell, and we've got to ask Jesus to come to our heart. And that's where it begins. That's where the Christian life begins. And let me say this. Through the Christian life, there's going to be all kinds of battles. There's going to be all kinds of struggles. I wish I could get up. I've said it often through the years in my preaching. I wish I could get up and say that the Christian life is always going to be a bed of roses. I can't guarantee that. Now, let me say this. It's the most terrific life in the world. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I wouldn't replace what I'm doing right now to be seen out in the world somewhere, on a beach somewhere tonight, in a bar room tonight, whatever the case may be. You know what? The world has nothing on me tonight, on what I have as far as the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't trade this for the world. And let me tell you something, the victories are so wonderful. You know what? And so often we go ahead, and I mentioned it this morning, we get into the valley, we get tired, and then we get to a point where we quit. And the truth is, when one faces the adversity, they miss out. If they go ahead and quit in the valley, you know, they miss out on what God wants to do in their life. You know, it might be just about the time you said, I am done, that God was ready to go ahead and show you some great and mighty things that thou knowest not, as the Bible says. And here was the children of Israel in this passage, and I'm kind of reviewing here a little bit. The children of Israel, they were faced with their first major trial, the Red Sea experience. You know what? Here they were, the Red Sea before them, and the hardened heart of Pharaoh and his army behind them. They look behind, and the Bible says they were sore afraid. They look before, they were scared. What is going on? And of course, what do? It's classic children of Israel. They start whining and griping to the man of God. We should have gone ahead and you should have just let us alone. We should have gone ahead and stayed in Egypt. We shouldn't have gone ahead and done this. Now we're going to go ahead and die out here in the wilderness. And they were all shook up and all concerned and so forth. And let me just stop and say this. I think I would have been too. You know, and as I mentioned this morning, there's some of you, you're right there caught in the middle. You're sandwiched between trouble behind you and you're sandwiched between trouble ahead of you. And you just wonder, how is this going to happen? And oftentimes, if we're not careful, we can start griping. We can start complaining. We can start shaking our fists at the man of God, as they did. We can start shaking our fists literally at God and say, this just isn't fair. And so what happens is we have this we get this mentality that, you know what, the Christian life is no use. Why should I bother to go to church? Why should I bother to get up and read my Bible? Why should I bother to keep on serving God? Why should I keep on doing this and so forth? Why should I, you know what? In that mentality, the devil's kind of whispering in your ear, that mentality, you know what? You're kind of right. Hey, you know what? Yeah, you know what? If the Christian life is really worth it, you know, then you wouldn't have all this problem. That's what the devil says. And then when he whispers, when you allow him to whisper a Christian, not a Christians tonight primarily, when you allow him to whisper in your ear long enough, then comes the mentality, you know what, I'm done. Why do I even bother to do this? I'm done with church. I'm done with the Word of God. I'm done with this Christian life, so to speak. And thank God, once you're saved, you can't be done with that. Amen? Once you're saved, Jesus has moved inside. But so often, Christians, they go ahead and they fail to live the victorious Christian life, which is what the promised land represents, simply because they get in the wilderness of their life and they quit. I'm done. I don't want this anymore. And quitting, may I say this, as I said all morning this morning, is not the solution. Shaking your fist at God in the church is not a solution. Stopping is not a solution. You know, if you're going to excel in the Christian life, you got to keep going forward. You got to keep going on. You know, I mentioned this morning the armor. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about to put on the whole armor of God. It means that, by the way, the whole armor, that means every single piece. Okay, and it's easy when you're going through a time of relaxation, so to speak, in the Christian life. There's times when, boy, you can look at, boy, my bills are paid. I got a job. I got a car to drive. I got my food in the cupboards and got a roof over. Boy, things are pretty good. And it's so easy when you're kind of coasting along in the Christian life. Things are good. God is blessing. And it's so easy, though, however, to get up and say, well, you know, I don't need to put on the whole armor today. The truth of the matter is every single day you got to go ahead and keep that armor on. Every single day you got to put on the whole armor. That armor was created for the front of your body. The armor, there is nothing, the armor to that God, the whole armor of God is talking about, there's nothing in behind. In other words, it's just all skin, if you will. There's nothing there to go ahead and protect you, teaching us that when the battle comes, we don't retreat. We don't quit. When the trials do come, when the job problem comes, when the sickness comes or whatever, you know what? That whole armor of God talked about in Ephesians 6, it tells the soldier, go forward. And the moment that you turn back, the devil says, ooh, the fiery dart of the wicked is right there to go ahead and get you in the back and to take you down. Hey, you know what? But Moses here, of course, is the children of Israel kind of caught sandwiched in between trouble. And I like Moses. Of course, God revealed to Moses this is what's going to happen. I mean, it's kind of amazing when you read the whole story, read the whole chapter, if you will, of Exodus chapter 14. God reveals it's going to happen. And Moses, you know, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. They're going to get their chariots together. They're going to come at. They're going to be hot on your trail, man. I can just imagine the leader. Well, thank you, God. Thank you very much. You brought me all these millions of people. Yeah, thank you, Lord. I could just see that. And you know what? I like the fact, though, and again, I'm reviewing just for a little bit here, because the last part of my message is not as long as the first part, so I got to go ahead and get my time in. Amen? So, but I like this, number 13. It just kept on going through my mind all week long. You know, God did not necessarily say, Moses, you know what? Just let you know, they are coming in behind you. The Red Sea is before you. But God did not say right away, okay, but Moses, this is what's going to happen. You know, this is what you're going to do. Now, God goes and gets to that. But you know what? And before I see, okay, before I see any solution as to how they're going to get through the Red Sea, I see a man of faith here in verse number 13. And Moses said, fear unto the people. Now, mind you, they're scared. Mind you, can you imagine the commotion? Can you imagine the mama's crying, the baby's crying because mom and daddy's shook up and, you know, they're scared and so forth? Can you imagine the millions of people? Can you imagine how loud it must have been? I don't know how in the world Moses communicated with all these people. I don't know how without a sound system. I have no clue. But the truth is, you know what? Moses, that man of faith, said unto the people, fear ye not. Don't be afraid. Stand still. Let me just stop and say this. You know what? When you're in the midst of the battle, sometimes it's so easy to go ahead and move quickly. You know, what I mean by that, that word stand still, I was kind of studying that a little bit. I think Moses was telling him, okay, hold it, stand still. That does not mean that you go ahead and quit the ministry. It doesn't mean that you quit doing what you're doing. You know what? You do go ahead and keep reading your Bible every day. You keep on praying. If you have a ministry, you keep serving in that ministry. But you know what? Moses, he gives a solution. He tells the people what to do. Fear not. Don't be afraid and stand still. In other words, I think he was saying, don't you make a quick decision. Don't you go ahead and get to a point where you want to bail out on God. You know, so often when we get in the valley, we start looking. I'm going to go ahead and use this here, the red one here. When we get in the valley, so often what happens, and I say this by experience. Okay, I say this by experience because I've been there. When I went through the valley through my college years and I felt like this just didn't seem fair and just didn't seem right, you know, the money wasn't coming in, all kinds of different things went on. You know what? The moment that I felt like I got to the bottom, I made a hasty decision. Well, God must have me in this. So, you know, I moved. I left the will of God. And the truth of the matter is I failed to see that God was working, if you will, out a plan to go ahead and get me through college. But I failed to see that at the time. You know, I was thinking, God, and this is exactly what I thought. God, this isn't, you want me to be a preacher? You want me to go ahead and go to Bible college? And I can't even go ahead and find the job? I can't find the job to support my family? You know, and I was literally shaking my fist at God. And the truth of the matter is, I should have stood still. I should have, yeah, kept on running my bus route, kept on reading my Bible, kept on serving God, kept on raising my family and so forth. But what happened, you know what? I made a quick decision that really, at the point, devastated my life and even devastated my young family at the time. And the truth of the matter is I should have stood still. So often when you get in the valleys, so often when you get in the battles, you start thinking, God's not in this. So you move all of a sudden. You move to another location or you just kind of go away here or whatever the case may be. And I think what Moses said, Moses in his wisdom, he was saying, hey, stand still. You know what? I know what some of you children of Israel are thinking right now. You think this is not fair? You just got done griping to me and complaining to me, and some of you are all ready to bail out on God.
You know what? Listen, listen. Hey, you know, I think, you know, just give me a little bit of liberty here, but I think Moses, in divine wisdom, in godly wisdom, if you will, he saw what can happen if the Christian, if you will, the children of Israel here, you go ahead, you quit on God, you bail, and go back to Egypt. You know what? It's not going, you're not going to appreciate that. It's not going to be exactly what you're thinking. You go back to the world in Egypt. It's going to be slavery again. You're going to start whining, complaining, and back there you're going to be under all that turmoil by Pharaoh and so forth. Hey, you don't want to go back to the world. You don't want to go back there and be spent, if you will, by the world. And I think Moses in his godly wisdom said, hey, listen, fear not, and just stand still. Keep serving God. The Bible talks about waiting on the Lord. That doesn't mean that you just sit here and, okay, I'm just going to sit here. I'll warm my pew every week, but this is just all I'm going to do for now. No. You know what that talks about? As you're waiting for God to go ahead and show you the next move or show you what to do, you stay busy. You stay busy in that bus route. You stay busy in your devotion time with God. You stay busy with your soul winning. You stay busy raising your family for God. In the meantime, you keep on giving ear to the Holy Spirit as he leads and guides you. And I kind of think, in essence, Moses was saying the same, fear not. Okay? Don't be afraid. Stand still. Don't you go ahead and make some hasty decision that will cost you, that you will pay for dearly later. And you know what? Then he says to the children of Israel, see the salvation of the Lord. You know, he was saying to the children of Israel, maybe in a kind, calm, pastoral manner, hey, you know what? God knows exactly where we are. God's in control. God sees the Red Sea. God knows the armies pursuing after us. But you know what? See the salvation of the Lord. You know, in other words, in the Hebrew, I think maybe he was saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. You haven't seen exactly what God is going to do here. You know, and I'd be a little funny there, but the truth of the matter is, see the salvation of the Lord, Israel. And he goes on to say, you know, the Lord shall fight for you. Boy, that's a good army right there, right there. God alone is the best army. He shall fight for you. And then, of course, here's a man of God. He just says this, and I'm reviewing a minute, and I'm going to get to the portion in a minute that I want to preach tonight. But the man of God, as I was reading Moses, you know, God reveals this is what's going to happen. They're going to pursue after you. Moses is not sure, okay, how do I get through this? You know, how am I going to get through this battle? But by faith, I think unbeknownst to him as to how it's going to all take place, you know, he stands up by faith, says, fear not, stand still. Let's see God work. God's going to go ahead and fight for you. But you know, then in verse number 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? I think Moses, he was on his knees. After he said that, I think maybe you found him somewhere behind a rock on his knees. Okay, God, I don't know what you're going to do here, but you've got to do something. Hey, God, you got to help me. I got a million some odd people behind me. They're bawling, they're crying, they're griping at me right now. I told them by faith, I told them that you got to see us through. Okay, God, it's up to you, man. You got to go ahead and do something. And you know what he says? He says, Moses, God's not shook up. You know, again, I take the Bible literally. You know, I let the Bible speak to me, and I kind of think maybe God's not shook up here. Moses, listen, tell the people to go forward. Go forward. And then he goes and gives a solution. Take thy rod, but lift up thy rod. Stretch thine hand over the sea, divide it. The children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. See, God already knew. Whatever it is you're going through right now that you're just about ready to quit and say, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, God already knows it. God already knows the solution. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know, I look at it as my job tonight. Hey, you know what, church? Just stand still. Fear not. I know there's anxiety. I know there's anxiousness. I know that, you know, what's going to happen. I know that's all part of it, especially when you face adversity, when you face a little bit of trial. I understand all the human emotions that go on with that. But the truth of the matter is, you know what?
if we're not careful, we'll allow our adversity to speak for us. We'll allow our adversity to go ahead and overtake us in such a way that we say, I'm done with a Christian life. I'm done. You know, I'm not going to go to church anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. I am done with a Christian. It just doesn't seem fair. You know, and the truth of the matter is, you know, we ought to stop putting God on trial. Yeah, that's what we do in them circumstances. Start shaking, we start putting God on trial and so forth. We ought not be doing that. We ought not be putting God on trial. We ought to allow our adversity to increase our faith. You know, instead of look, you know, God might want you to learn something through that adversity. You know, this morning I said, okay, maybe there's some things that you could have prevented from having that struggle, that trial happen. Maybe there's some decisions that you made that was not biblical, that was not right or whatever, and that helped kind of bring on this trial and so forth. But you know what? You're there. What are you going to do about it? Okay, so what? Okay, maybe you should have made some, maybe you should have talked to the Lord more. Maybe you should have got a little godly counsel or something about a situation or whatever. But you know what? If you're there in the trial because of some bad decision making, what are you going to do about it? You know, a lot of Christians do. Well, you know what? I'm here. Still, it's just not fair. It's just not right. It's not, you know, and they start whining, complaining, just like the children, and so forth. And the truth of the matter is, it might be that God says, you know, why don't you learn something from this? Why don't you go ahead and take that struggle? Why don't you, and maybe it wasn't bad decision. Maybe it's just because, you know what, you're going through the Christian life, and as the Christian life is, you have your mountaintops, you have your valleys, and you have your in-betweens. And the truth of the matter is, you know what, but it might be that God just says, well, instead of belly aching about it, why don't you go ahead and say, you know what, learn something from it. Why don't you take that burden and show others how they can go through the same burden later on. Why don't you go ahead and take that struggle and show others how to go ahead and get through that struggle, which we're going to get to in just a second, talk about that. Hey, you know, go forward this evening. I mentioned it this morning, go forward. You might have some heartaches, you might have some trials and some disappointments and so forth, but you just keep on going forward anyway. God knows right where you are. You know what? The preacher doesn't know very well exactly where you stand, where you are this evening. The deacon and the Sunday school teacher does not necessarily know. But you know what? There's one that exactly knows right where you're sitting tonight as far as your heart, as far as your anxiety, and that's God Almighty. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? You ought to allow your adversity to increase your faith. You know, Satan may be having a heyday. You may have some financial struggles. But you know what? I'm going to give you the same advice tonight, the two words. You just keep going forward. I gave several biblical examples of people that went forward, and I'm glad they did. Jesus went forward. We've talked about that in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, he went through the Red Sea. The Red Sea experience, the darkest hour of his life was in that garden, I believe. You know, he's just a few hours, he's going to be betrayed. He was going to go ahead and go to that cross. He was going to be tried wrongly. He was going to go through the cat of nine, everything. You know, the story of the cross, of the crucifixion. He's going to go through it all. He's going to be betrayed by one of his own. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 26, and I read it this morning, but verses 36, you know what? Jesus goes in the garden. He goes a little further. He leaves Peter and a couple of his disciples outside the garden. Would you watch and pray with me? His heart was very heavy. He was very sorrowful, the Bible says there. His heart was very, very heavy. The truth of the matter is, Jesus needed somebody to go ahead and pray with him. But you know what? These disciples, the Bible says there, the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. These disciples couldn't even watch and pray with him. Going through Jesus, their master, if you will, Jesus who called them to go ahead and work for him, if you will. Jesus who they had seen do many great miracles. Jesus who in just a little while was going to go ahead and die on the cross and so forth. And as some of his own men could not even stay awake and pray with him through the darkest hour. But Jesus, you know, he went a little further, the Bible said. He says, God, my Father, if this cup could pass from me, it'd be great if it'd be possible this cup would pass. But you know that he says, but not as I wilt, but as thou wilt. Whatever you want, God. You know what Jesus was saying? I'm going forward. Let me just stop and say this. We ought to thank God that he went forward tonight.
We ought to thank God that he didn't go ahead and destroy the whole world and say, I'm not going to the cross, and call 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. We ought to thank God that he says, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to die alone on that cross. I'm going to go ahead and go pay the sin debt of this whole world. Boy, we ought to thank God for that tonight. You know what? Jesus, he went forward. He didn't quit. Paul said, I pressed towards the mark. He was in prison. Amazing man of God, the Apostle Paul. In prison, he says, I pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, in the fiery furnace, you know what? They said, I'm not going to bow down to your idol. You know what they were saying? We're going forward for God. Daniel in the lion's den, you know what? They went ahead and said, you can't go ahead and pray to your God, Daniel. They signed a decree. They signed a law and so forth. Daniel, nobody's going to tell me whether I can pray to my God or not. And he still goes to his window there, and he prays three times a day. And, of course, the King Darius there was a little bit sensitive to Daniel. We know that. He felt bad that, you know, that he was going to be sent to the lion's den. But you know what? Of course, we know the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel was cast into the lion's den, and God had the power, obviously, all power to go ahead and shut the lion's mouth. You know what Daniel was saying? He's, you know, he went forward. He went forward for the cause of Christ. You know, that's what we need tonight. You know, we need leaders in the church who say, no matter when the valley comes, I'm still going forward. That's what we need. And when we, and this is where I'm picking up here a little bit, what if, think about this, what if the Israelites did get their way? Oh, we should have gone ahead and stayed in Egypt. Oh, leave us alone. We should have stayed there. There were no green graves in Egypt. We're going to die out here, Moses. What if they got what they wanted at the time and they went back to Egypt? You know what happens when Christians, and it happens. I've been in the ministry long enough. I've seen good Christians. They just say, I've had enough and I'm done. By the way, they're miserable tonight. They're miserable. You want to talk to the most miserable individual tonight, that is a Christian who quit on God. It's true. I've talked to young people alike and even adults and so forth. I know them. I've seen them. They used to be, boy, fervent soul winners, be in the church, whatever you need, preacher, reading the Word of God, raising their family for God. And the truth of the matter is, talking from a parent's perspective, they will go ahead and they quit on God because of adversity or whatever, things or stuff gets in the way, whatever the case may be, they still quit on God. And the truth of the matter is, they don't have that peace that they once had with God. They really are the most miserable people. And when a Christian quits, you know what that tells the next generation? This is where I kind of dropped off this morning. It tells them that if your God is not big enough to get you through that battle, then why should I bother to serve him? That's what it says to the next generation. They may see, you know, a giant of the faith, maybe a preacher and so forth. They're preaching the gospel and different things, and they've seen many great things, but somewhere along the way, they fell or they, some battles, they just couldn't take it anymore and so forth and so on. And that preacher goes ahead and gets into the valleys, and they say, God, this just isn't fair. It happens to the greatest of Christians, if you will. This just isn't fair. And that spiritual leader, that pastor who for so many years got up and preached, thus saith the Lord, and so forth, got discouraged, and they quit. And do you know what that says to a church? Do you know what that says to some young people in the church? Well, you know what? If God is not big enough to get that preacher or that Christian or that deacon or that Sunday school teacher out of the rut that they were in or out of the valley that they are in, why should I even bother? You know what? When we go ahead and we quit on God and quit on God's plan and quit on God's will, you know what we're teaching the next generation? God's not big enough to go ahead and handle it. And by the way, we know better. God is big enough to handle every situation. God knows exactly where you are tonight. What I'm saying tonight to you, Christian, before you get in the valley, and if you're in the valley tonight and you say, hey, I've had it, I'm done. Hey, what I'm trying to get you to understand, look at these young boys. Look at these young girls. Look at these teenagers who look to you, deacon, who look to you, Sunday school teacher, who look to you, pastor, before you decide, hey, I'm done with this. I can't take this anymore. I can't take the pressure anymore. You know what you're saying to the next generation? God is not big enough to handle it. And God is big enough to handle it. God knows exactly where you are tonight, Mom and Daddy. God knows exactly where you sit tonight. I know that there's turmoil in your life. I understand that. I know that there could be some fear in your life. I know you don't see the end of the road. You wish you could see the light at the end of the tunnel, but I'm here tonight, and I'm pleading with you. Hey, go forward, go forward, go forward, go forward, go forward. You're sandwiched between trouble, trouble from the back and trouble from the front. And I know it's got to be so easy to start griping and complaining, saying, this isn't fair. So I'm not going to keep going. I've seen it. And I tell you, they're the most miserable people tonight that quit on God. They're the most miserable people tonight. You know what? When we go ahead and quit, we tell the younger generation, God's not able to deliver. God is weak. You know what? Therefore, it destroys their faith. It hurts their faith. Therefore, it's taking a young person who gets on fire for God at a young age, comes to an altar on a regular basis and makes decisions between them and God, some holy decisions, called to preach, desires to come to the marriage altar clean and pure and virgin, and wants to raise their family for God because they see the preacher man doing it. They see that they saw their mama and daddy doing it, but when the struggles and when the trials started piling upon top of the leadership in their life, well, they buckle. Say, I can't do this anymore. The truth of the matter is, you know what? You can't do it. You can't do it. You know, and you know what the trouble is? You know why it is we quit? Because we're trying to do it in our own strength. You know what? Sometimes we just get so, and I know how it can be in the Christian life, being a Christian mama and daddy, being a preacher. I know how it can be. You know, you look at your own world. You know how it is. It's busy. You got to get up tomorrow morning, Monday mornings. Don't we love Mondays, huh? Got to love Monday. But you got to get up Monday morning, whatever time, especially when school starts. You got to get the kids up early. You got to get them ready for school. Got to feed them. Got to do this. Got to do this. Then you got to get yourself ready to go to work. And that cycle goes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It gets busy. And the truth of the matter is we oftentimes get so busy that we forget the one that we need to get the strength from to make it. That's what's happening. Our churches tonight should be full. I'm talking about our Bible-believing independent Baptist churches. They ought to be jam-packed tonight. You know, I can take you to Maine. I can take you all over. I can take you to different homes and different places of good, solid Christian people. They're saved. They know for sure on their way to heaven. But I guarantee you, something happened. They failed, if you will, to recognize God every single day. The very strength that you need to go ahead and keep going. And a lot of it is simply, you know, and I think God, the devil, if you will, uses his tool of busyness. I'm for being busy. Don't get me wrong. I'm for work. I'm for sweat. I'm for all that stuff. But you know what? If you are working and you're sweating and your schedule is so rigid that you forget about God, it's no wonder that after a little while, when the devil and the world's devices and the world keeps kind of pounding on you, it keeps pounding on you, you just get weaker and weaker and weaker. You know why? Because we forgot to go ahead and get plugged in. We forgot to go ahead. Yeah, and I'm talking about people that, yeah, they're in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But you know what, church? That's not enough. I mean, I'm for that. We need not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We need to be in church every time the doors are open. But the truth of the matter is you have a responsibility. You know what? You're not going to make it on just 3 or 4 hours a week. Not with all the junk that's out there in the world just kind of wearing you down. Talk about the prince of the power of the air just kind of wearing you down. You know, you've got to, every single day, you've got to plug into God. You do that through the Word of God. But see, what happens, I think what's happened in fundamentalism today is simply, we have failed as good, solid Christian people to do that. I believe tonight, on a Sunday night, churches could be jam-packed. I'm talking about independent Bible-believing Baptist churches. Could be jam-packed. But you know why a lot of it is? Because Christians have failed to go ahead and stay in tune with God. I'm talking about good people. And as your pastor tonight, I plead with you, mom and dad, don't lose touch with God. Because what will happen eventually, you may say, no, I'm too strong. No. Eventually, I've seen how this works. What happens is the devil and the world starts wearing you out so much that when you kind of get in that battle, and you've been through many of them, but you had enough reserve, so to speak. Please don't misunderstand me when I say that. You know, you've been in tune, you're gleaning things from the Word of God. Maybe you've got 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, whatever the case may be, but you're not really consistent with your walk with God. And you've made it through battle and valleys and different things. But eventually, because our failure to stay really tuned in and plugged in and focused upon God, it's going to be that particular battle, that particular, I don't know what one it will be, that's going to go ahead and say, you start saying, you know, I can't do this anymore. I can't teach that Sunday school class anymore. But whenever that happens, boy, that's a red flag to me. I've seen it. I've seen Sunday school teachers, you know what? The first thing they start dropping generally is there. When they start kind of getting away, they say, you know what? Generally speaking, there are other situations, but generally speaking, they'll drop their ministry. The very thing that they really need to get them, help get them in the Word of God, they start dropping that. And you know what? To me as a pastor, a red flag kind of, whoa, starts waving a little bit. The truth of the matter is, what battle will it take? What struggle, what valley will it take? It may take several because of our failure to be tuned in, if you will. When that big, huge Red Sea experience comes, it's coming from behind, it's coming from all sides, if you will. That'll be the time where you snap and say, I can't teach anymore. I can't do this anymore. Your church attendance becomes a little sporadic. And you know what that says to the next generation? They start saying, whatever happened to brother or miss so-and-so? Whatever happened to? Oh. Well, I guess if they couldn't make it through that, and let me say this, I know what I'm talking about. I've seen it. I've worked with young people. If they see their leadership falter, you know what that says to them? Why bother? Not 100% of the time. I thank God for the ones that are salvaged, if you will, that still know better. Say, you know what? No, okay, all right. They messed up. They're not here. They're not around it. What? Okay. I thank God for the few. But oftentimes, you know what, that tells the young generation, that tells our kids, I don't know if it's really worth it then. They'll come to a point of decision, well, I don't know if church is real. I don't know if reading the Word, I don't know if that call of God was really real in my life. And the truth of the matter is, we are not going to salvage this nation. I still very strongly believe in 2 Chronicles 7:14. But we're not going to salvage this nation if there's a whole bunch of quitters surrounding the next generation. It's not going to happen. You know, we need some Moseses. We need some moms and dads that'll have a faith of a Moses and say, you know what? I don't know, God, what you're going to do, but I'm going to go out there. I'm going to tell my Sunday school class. I'm going to tell my bus route, everything's going to be okay. Okay, God, I don't know what you're going to do. God, I told my people, I told them, I told my children in the home, I told them everything's going to be all right, everything's going to be all right. God, what are you going to do? And God says, go forward. Moses, take that rod, put it over the Red Sea. The waters are going to part. You're going to walk across on dry land. I still hope there's a video of this one in heaven, man. I really do. I love to see that. I would love to have been there just to see it. You know, I like a little bit of action. Think of the action. Here's the you know, I'm on a side note here a minute, but that's okay. But here's the army, Pharaoh's army, the world coming after them, and they're trotting down with their fancy chariots and so forth. Oh, we're hot on their trail. Here's the millions of children of Israel walking across on dry land. God does a great miracle through Moses' rod there, through the man of God and so forth. And here they, and as they go ahead and they enter into that, the parted waters, the enemy, the waters swallow them up. That's cool, man. I'm sorry, that's a little bit cool. Hey, but you know, God said it was going to happen. You know, God said it was going to go ahead and happen. You know, I like what Moses said. He says to him, "See the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today." He said, "Hey, listen, guys. Hey, listen, show, you know, today something big's going to happen." I mean, you think about that. Think about the, wow, that's huge faith. Today, something's going to happen, man. You know, I don't think Moses really knew exactly what was going to happen, but something was going to happen. And he goes in, basically, "For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you're going to see them no more." Okay, God, what are you going to do? You know, you talk about a man that was plugged in. He had a faith in God. Listen, you need to go forward for the next generation, for their cause. I got to keep moving. You know, and then let me just give you some reasons real quickly. Why go forward? These are I want to just brush through these real quick. Why go forward? I'll give you a few reasons. Number one, because I believe the world needs us to. You know, people get this idea, well, the world's laughing at us tonight because we're in church. Yeah, they are. I know. They're laughing at us. Let them laugh. But you know, there's going to come a time when someone out in the world is going to come to their knees and they're going to need your faith. They're going to need the God you serve. That's why you go forward. That's why you keep going on. Because the lost world needs us to. You know what? We've got the answer, by the way. I'm not saying we go around with all, you know, I know it all. I'm not saying that. But the truth of the matter is we do carry the truth. Amen. We do have what the world needs. So the reason why I encourage you, church, to go forward is you need to go forward for the world. The world needs you. The lost world needs us. The world needs your Christian love. The world needs your good testimony. The world needs to see your good testimony on the job. Amen? You know, not just Christianity on Sunday, but when you go to church, when you go onto that job site tomorrow, you punch in that clock, you know what? Jesus ought to be all over you. Boy, the world ought to see Jesus, and go ahead and let them mock, let them scorn, let them laugh, but the truth of the matter is, and I've seen it, and I'm not going to take time to testify it, I've worked in the world, I've had people laugh at me to scorn because I read my Bible on break and so forth, I'd go ahead and memorize scripture, I'd pray for my lunch and so forth, I'd go ahead and laugh at them, but the truth of the matter is, at the end of 3 years in a place in Chicago, there are three people who lived in the world that they one time laughed at me, but they got the truth that I got in my heart. They needed it. They came to a point in their life that they needed what I got. They would go ahead and laugh at me. They'd say, "Sean, I don't understand how it is." We'd go ahead and laugh you to scorn. We'd mock you. You'd walk into the break room and we'd call you a preacher boy and Jesus freak and so forth. And all you would say is say thank you very much for the compliment. And they'd see that. And the truth of the matter is that they saw the consistency and what the lost world, your co-workers need, is they need a little bit of consistency, not just Christianity spilled on you for a few hours on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night, but they need your a good dose of Jesus, if you will. They need to see Jesus in you on the job tomorrow, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, and on Saturday for some of you. They need to see Jesus in you every single day. They need to see that your faith. They need to see that you have a good testimony. They need to see the love of God shine through you despite what's maybe going on at home. This, in spite of the struggles and the bills and the heartache and the cancer and the illness and the different things and the disappointment that you may face outside the world. But you know, the lost world still needs to see that, boy, you know, I've got a Jesus Christ. You know what? You go into work, and there are times it's hard to go in with that spring in your step. There are times when it's hard to go in with that smile. I understand that because of some of the pressure. But you know what? The lost world needs to see your faith in Christ. They need to see that you're consistent in your Christian living. They need to see that, you know what, when the battles come, that, well, you still take your Bible to work every day and you read it. You still go ahead and you pray before your lunch. But generally, sometimes if you're not careful, you know what, the pressures get so much, the Bible kind of gets pushed away. And eventually, you hear the corner of the dirty jokes and you kind of fall into that category after a little while. And you know what that says to the world that you're working with? You're laughing at our jokes now. That never used to be. And they see something that they never saw before. Does that want them? Does that build up a desire in their heart to want to serve the Jesus that you serve when they see that? You know, I happen to believe tonight, why should we go forward? I think the world needs us to. But not just that, we need to be consistent each and every day of our life. On the job, at home, at work, wherever it may be, you need to be consistent. The lost world needs who you have, that's Jesus. You quitting tells them that they can't trust in the one that you trusted in to save you. You go forward for the sake of the lost and tell them about Jesus. Why go forward? For the sake of your family. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time, but for the sake of your family. You know what? The children that God's given you the responsibility to raise, they need to see your mom and dad going forward. You know what? And by the way, children will see the turmoil and the struggles in the home. They'll see that. They'll see, you know, the bills. You know, they can feel the anxiety to some degree. They'll see that, especially as they get older. But you know what the next generation in your home needs? They need to still see a mama and daddy, even though they're going through the valley, on their knees praying, saying, okay, God, I don't know what you're going to do about these bills. I don't know what you're going to do about this. I don't know what you're going to do. But God, we're going to trust you for it. We're going to trust you. That'll speak volumes to your children. You know why you need to go forward, mama? Your kids. Your kids need to see you going forward. Mom and Dad, you go forward tonight. Your kids need to see that God has put number one over any sport, any amusement, any friend or any TV show, that Jesus is first place. That's what your children need to see. You know, we need to get back. You know, just, let me say this. We got to get back to old-fashioned family values. I'm talking about where Dad led the home again, where Dad. It's okay, is in control. Dad is taking care of things. Dad is taking care of the home, if you will. And mom has her place. Don't misunderstand me. But we need to get back to old-fashioned family values. Dad needs to be the leader and the guide and the spiritual leader. But you know what? You know what happens today? Seems like the television's our guide now. That's sad. Seems like that the TV guide is our guide now and not the Bible. We allow a publication that comes out of Hollywood dictate, do I go to church or not? Do I go ahead and serve God or not tonight, today, because of a sport or an event on TV or whatever the case may be? And we need to get back to making God number one in our home again. You know, go forward for the sake of my church, your church. You know, that's for pastor and church member. You know what? I believe this. I just believe that. I used to be sit where you sit, and now I stand where I stand. I've been in both places. But I just happen to believe that people need to see me in my place. I happen to believe that. You know, I just happen to believe that someone, and I've seen it, people come in with some heartaches, and they need encouragement from the Word of God. They need the preacher's love. They need the Holy Spirit to move in their heart through the preaching and different things. But you know what also encourages? The same people in their spot every single Sunday. That encourages me. You know, that encourages me as a pastor. But you know what? Even when I sat out there, I used to say, man, I used to my wife say, boy, them folks are faithful. Well, that spoke a lot to me. That spoke a lot to me, that them people that were in their spot, they had their place, if you will. You know, we need to go forward for the church. Go forward in your ministry. You know, give it all you got. Give that ministry all you got. You know, have fun with that ministry. You can have, you know, the ministry's fun, if you allow it. It doesn't have to be, well, I got to teach a class again. Man, you're going to go real far in that class, I tell you what. You know, okay, take your Bible. Let's see. Anybody have a lesson? You say, preacher, that. Oh, I've been around a few years. You know what? You're not going to excite them kids. Boy, you ought to go in and get excited about that class. You know, go in. Boy, you ought to be looking forward tomorrow. Say, man, I can't wait to Sunday to see my Sunday school class. I can't wait to Sunday to get on my bus. I can't wait. I just can't wait. You know what? Go forward in your class. Give it all you got. Give it all you got. And number four, and I'm done. Go forward for Christ's sake. Jesus, as I mentioned a moment ago, he went forward. I thank God he didn't retreat. You know, our example, Jesus Christ, says in the garden, it's not, God, if there was any other way, it'd be great. But you know, it's not my will, God, it's yours. You know what? Right there is an example for us all to follow. We sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus, but do we really mean it? You know, and we see all that Jesus did and his miracles, and we see the man that he was. By the way, he was a man. He was a man's man, I believe. He wasn't this sissy-looking freak that is painted in some picture in some gallery somewhere. He was a man. Think about all that he went through. I mean, you know, there's not a whole lot of men that could go ahead and go through the pain and the things that he went through. But the truth of the matter is, you know, our example, Jesus Christ, he said in the garden that he went a little further. He kept going. He kept moving forward. Of course, at the garden there, you know, he said the hour has come. Went back to his disciples who were sleeping. Sleep on now. The hour has come. It wasn't long after Judas goes ahead and betrays him. You think about the sadness of all that. And they go ahead and they take him and they take him to court and try him wrongfully and so forth. And you know what? I mean, what I'm saying, Jesus never retreated. Jesus never retreated. The children of Israel had troubles from both ends. Probably, from what I see at the beginning of their journey, the biggest battle of their life. They didn't see any way out. And I'm not sure, really, if Moses, you know, Moses had a strong faith in God, and I believe he knew that God was gonna do something, but I kind of have that, you know, kind of wonder, God, I don't know what you do. What are you gonna do, God? What are you gonna do? Here's a Red Sea. Here's the army of Israel, of Pharaoh coming behind. Here's all these people scared, crying out, griping, complaining. But you see a man of God just stand up and say, basically, in not so many words, everything's going to be all right. God's going to fight for you. You know what? Today we're going to see the salvation of the Lord. In church, you may be going through, I don't know what you're going through. You may be going through the battle. And it may not be today that you'll see it. But if you go ahead and quit on God, you'll never see the salvation of the Lord. You'll never see the joy of victory. And by the way, it's joyous when you see the victory. It's really joyous. You know, when you go through a long, hard tunnel, so to speak, and a whole long, hard, you know, boy, you know, you look back and say, wow, God did that. And God gave you the strength and the grit to go ahead and get through it. There's joy in that. But, you know, if we're not careful, If we're not careful, some of us may not be in this room next year at this time because we're tired, had enough. As your pastor, I say tonight, don't let the devil get the best of you. Because what he'll do is he may, teenagers, young people, even adults, he may go ahead and make some things look pretty. You know, God's way really isn't worth, you know, try this. You know, this is just what you need. And all it does is bring chaos and turmoil to your life. Don't let the devil get the best of you, teenager. Leaders, moms and dads, Sunday school teachers, deacons, preacher. There's going to be the trials that's going to go ahead and come. But you know what? Moses gave some good advice. God gave Moses the instruction, but Moses gave some good advice. Go forward. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You know, you got to keep pressing on the upward way. Go forward. Boy, leaders, tonight, I challenge you more than anything tonight. When the battles come, you go forward. God needs you in the fight, obviously. The world needs to see that you're going forward for the cause of Christ. I believe that, even though they may be mocking you. But let's look at it from our church view. These little boys and girls need to see you, Sunday school teacher, going forward. Preacher, going forward. Leaders, going forward. Mom and Dad, going forward. Our Heavenly Father. God, I tried not to be too repetitious. I know that